It's time to take this game into overtime. The official podcast of the Average Joe's Sports Show on 90.9 The Light Sports for our generation.
Wrestling fans, are you ready?
You're listening to the DNA Wrestling Podcast with Adam Fornwalt and Denton Day.
Wrestling fans, what is up? This is the DNA Wrestling Podcast season finale. Final episode of the semester before we part ways for Christmas break and enjoy Santa Claus and all his goodness.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus. Although we may try and do some stuff over break. We'll see.
I think Santa's a WWE guy.
Yeah, I know Santa Claus is getting me a microphone. So
there you go.
He wants the podcast to live on. That's what I'm picking up from that. Santa Claus likes the DNA Wrestling Podcast. So we're going to do some end of the year awards today. But first, we had a nice little pay-per-view last weekend. TLC, we made our picks, and we tied.
Again.
For like the third time this season, we tied.
And you know, it's funny. The one thing that we were saying, there really wasn't anything shocking that was going to happen. There weren't going to really be, we thought, any returns. You made a bold prediction about a return. I made a prediction about a roster change. And it turns out they used the same guys. They just had one guy turn heel, and
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, so you're talking about Ellsworth pushing Ambrose when he had a shot at the title. We had a hint that James Ellsworth was probably going to screw Dean Ambrose because we know that AJ Styles is going to hold the belt for a while. I didn't think it would be that way.
And it's going to be interesting to see, I think, the dynamic of who ends up being heel face in that pairing of Ambrose and Ellsworth. Because essentially, Ellsworth, what he did was a heel action. But are the fans going to turn on Ambrose?
It's possible. And then he came back on this past weekend on SmackDown and cost Ambrose the Intercontinental Champion. But that was more accidental.
Yeah.
The one at TLC, that was a heel. I mean, he straight pushed the dude. He pushed him off the ladder.
And they had him play stupid.
Yeah, and they had him play dumb. Yeah. But at SmackDown, that was more of like, I'm trying to help. And, I accidentally cost you the title. So we'll see about that. So TLC, we tied. So that means we have one more. Roadblock end of the line. Ooh. Is the end of the line.
Hopefully
for our battles.
Some of these feuds.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. So we obviously will not be here in studio for Roadblock End of the Line, but you can check us out on Twitter at DNA Wrestling Pod. We will have our predictions up for that, so be sure to check that out. Give us a follow. You can follow Adam at @real_AdamF, and you can follow myself at @Den_Day. All right, shameless plugs are out of the way for now. They'll be coming back again because I'm the king of shameless plugs.
That's right.
So we're going to start with our end-of-the-year awards, and we're going to start down in the developmental territory. Start with NXT, and our first award, we have Male of the Year. And the nominees are, opens an envelope, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe, and Bobby Roode. Now, I don't know, I was looking at this beforehand. I don't have one yet, so I don't know who I'm going to pick yet. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. So do you have, who do you think was the NXT Male of the Year?
In my mind, the Male of the Year has to be Shinsuke Nakamura. The man came in and changed the game. Now, out of the four of these, Bobby Roode was around, I believe, a little bit longer because he appeared at one of the TakeOver previews or one of the TakeOver specials, but didn't actually wrestle. So it's real close between the two of them being the shortest reign. And maybe it was because they're so kind of fresh to me that those two really stuck out in my mind. But Shinsuke came in and had instant classics. And you look at Joe, and he's been on the end of some great matches, and Finn Balor obviously had his fair share of great matches in NXT. But Nakamura had great matches outside of the championship matches, and to me, I think is what sets him apart. He had a match with Sami Zayn that's a match of the year candidate in my mind. It was phenomenal. They told a great story. And then you look at his path to getting to the championship. He had to knock off a guy like Finn Balor, and what was a great match as well. And then his feud with Joe, I thought it was going to be boring, and it's been interesting. It's been one great match after the other. It's been physical, which I think is something, Shinsuke is showing a lot of showmanship. Now it's been the physicality. So in my mind, I'd have to go with Shinsuke Nakamura. I think it's close. There's three, four really good, talented guys here that you could pick and argue for, and I wouldn't argue against. but I think Shinsuke's got to be the guy.
See, of the four lists that we have here, Finn Balor is by far my favorite of all of them because he's one of my favorite guys just in wrestling right now. But this isn't asking for my favorite. This is asking who I think is the best. And I'm going to go with Samoa Joe purely because of longevity. He's a big, dominant heel, a monster heel, which I think NXT needs. He's been their essentially their go-to guy. He had great matches with Finn Balor. He's had great matches with Shinsuke Nakamura. He's the king of good matches. I like his character a lot. He's kind of that evil, badass monster, and I like that. That's what wrestling needs, so I'm going to give it to Samoa Joe. I think he's been the best so far, and that's purely just based on longevity and character.
And for a brand in which we were worried that the draft would deplete them of talent, they certainly have shown.
Yeah, he's kind of been the key guy, so to speak. Shinsuke's been great as well. Bobby Roode's been there as well. But I look at Joe as the key guy. And unfortunately, he's not going to fortunately, he will not be in NXT too much longer.
You would hope.
Supposedly. Yeah. Especially with a big match coming up in the end of January. So I think of this year, 2016, was Samoa Joe's year in NXT. All right, next award we have, staying with NXT, the Female of the Year. Drum roll, please.
Should have gotten a drum roll thing on the stinger.
And the nominees are Nia Jax, Bayley, my future wife Alexa Bliss, and Asuka. As much as I'd love to give this one to Alexa Bliss, I just can't. I love her.
Is there any real... I mean, you could make the argument for Bayley. She held the title, but she was dominated soundly by Asuka.
Yeah, I think 2015 was Bayley's year.
Yes.
2016, it's Asuka.
And beyond. I mean, who else is going to stop her at this point? She took down Mickie James.
Yeah. I think she's going to be there for a while, too.
Yeah, I don't see, you know, her only downfall is that she doesn't speak the English language well.
I think that's why she's going to stay there, because they're not going to bring her up to the main roster if she can't speak that well.
And I guess, but at the same time, it almost works to her advantage because there's that mystique that you don't know what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's from overseas. She's from Japan. Like, she's going to kick your face off. I mean, she's kind of got that Shinsuke-esque.
The queen of strong style.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, I mean, those two have ruled the roost pretty much for NXT. And I don't see it changing anytime soon. I think Shinsuke is going to be there for a little while. I think Asuka's going to be there for a little bit longer until they can find a suitable replacement. Right now, they don't have one. You look at the roster, you know, she's taken down everyone. She even took down Nia Jax. You know, she took down Bayley. Alexa Bliss didn't last very long. And the talent in there right now is not going to take the belt off of her. So,
absolutely.
In my opinion, she's got to be the woman of the year.
Yeah, it's really a no-brainer. Not a whole lot of competition, this one. Asuka gets my vote as well. So she is the unanimous Female of the Year.
And if you opened up the category to just women in the WWE, you could make the case that she'd
be up
overall.
There. Yeah, she'd certainly be up there.
But if we're restricting just the NXT, there's no doubt in my mind.
Unanimous. Asuka gets the DNA Wrestling NXT Female of the Year Award. All right, moving on. Tag teams. We had the Revival, DIY, because I can't say that guy's name.
Ciampa.
Ciampa. Where's the H in there? Man, I need to teach these people the English language. American Alpha and Authors of Pain. Now, this is a little interesting, because you got some real good teams right here.
You do. Again, another category. I mean, Alpha left halfway through the year, but you've got three teams that have been dominant. I think one team has been dominant, one team's been the champions, and the other one have been the most compelling. So you've got four really good teams here.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to have to go with the guys who held the belts along is Dash Wilder, Scott Dawson, The Revival. One, because I think their t-shirts are really cool. And I've watched some of their matches, and they just know how to tag team wrestle. It's almost just watching some of the tag team matches in WWE and watching their matches. It's a lost art form, and they have it. So I'm a big fan of them. I give them my nod for Tag Team of the Year.
They certainly, in my mind, have risen to be worthy of this category. I don't think at the start of the year that they were deservedly so at that point. I think American Alpha, what they did and caught fire and won the belts, lost the belts, and got moved up because they deserved to be moved up.
Yeah.
And you know that their mystique, their kind of shine has been kind of dirtied by SmackDown. People forget how good they are. I have to go with American Alpha. I mean, the crowd was more behind them than they were more behind than they are behind DIY at the moment, and DIY is over.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, you have to go with American Alpha. I just think they were too good this year for us not to give them some credit for what they did in NXT.
And final NXT category, and I smell another unanimous one coming up here. Match of the year. We have DIY versus Revival at TakeOver Toronto. Nakamura versus Samoa Joe at TakeOver Toronto. Both those were championship matches. Sami Zayn versus Nakamura at TakeOver Dallas right before WrestleMania. And Asuka and Bayley at TakeOver Brooklyn Part 2 for the Women's Championship. And this one, I smell a unanimous one, because if you put a certain match in this one as just complete match of the year, it would still get votes, and that would be Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura at TakeOver Dallas.
I disagree with you.
Really?
I do.
Wow.
Now, let me say this. It's 1A, 1B for me, and that match is 1B. There's no doubt that that was a great match, and the best part about that match was it had nothing on the line.
Yeah, it was just two guys just wrestling.
Yes, and from a fan standpoint, appreciate that. When you can have two guys wrestling and it means something and it's not for a belt, then they have won you over. No doubt in my mind. And maybe that's because this match is fresher in my mind and I remember more of it. I remember the Zayn Nakamura match. But DIY versus the Revival. DIY has been gunning for those belts. They have been screwed over. They've been injured. They've been separated. They've been put back together. DIY, their story and where they've come from to now, I'd have to go with DIY versus the Revival, a team that you feel like is the tag team of the year against the hottest team in the brand right now in NXT. I'd have to go with that match. I thought it was very good. The falls, you know, usually need two out of three falls match. The falls are kind of cheap. The first two falls and you really get to that third one.
Yeah.
I felt like both of them, you were like, how are they going to come back from this fall? I genuinely felt like they were done, and then somehow both teams fought back and made it compelling and interesting, and there were near falls. And then to have both Dawson and Wilder tap at the end, to have DIY win it, and the looks on their faces, that's priceless to me. I'd have to go with DIY. Also, you look at the three of these matches, you kind of knew, outside of DIY versus the Revival, who was going to win them. I mean, it was obvious Zayn was on his way out the door.
Yeah.
TakeOver Toronto, I think a lot of people thought Nakamura would win, but seeing it now in the grand scheme of things, and now Nakamura's won back the belt, exactly. It makes sense. Asuka versus Bayley, again, Bayley was more than likely out the door at that point. So
she was long past her stay.
Right.
Overdue.
So for me, the surprise element of you didn't know who was going to win this match, because it would make sense for the Revival to keep them, and it would make sense for DIY to win them. So that's why I have to go with that. The surprise element for me of that match is what put me over the top. But the Zayn Nakamura match, from a holy crap, this match is amazing standpoint, certainly deserves some recognition here as well.
Absolutely. Okay, so we split. I was wrong. We split. All right, so that is the NXT portion of the DNA Wrestling End of the Year Awards. So I guess we will move on up to the big guns, the big dogs, big dogs.
A certain big dog isn't going to win much for me here in this.
Yeah, nope. A certain big dog is getting nothing for me either.
Yeah.
We're going to start with Best Male Wrestler of the Year. And the nominees are Chris Jericho, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins. To me, this is not even a question. AJ Styles has had by far the best year out of anybody in essentially just the world of professional wrestling. Not even just the WWE, the world of wrestling. He stunned fans at the Royal Rumble. He put on great matches up to WrestleMania, had a good match with Chris Jericho, had great match with Roman Reigns for the WWE title. The John Cena feud was out of this world good, and now he became the first ever wrestler to have the New Japan, TNA, and WWE World Championships. A TNA guy won the WWE World Championship, and that is because he is AJ Styles. It's a no-brainer here. AJ Styles is the male wrestler of the year for me by far.
I'm going to second that. I absolutely agree with you. AJ Styles came in and did what he does best, and that is steal the show. I mean, I know that's Dolph Ziggler's thing, but AJ Styles has, in fact, dominated a company which we never thought we would see him in. Not only that, he now basically has his own show.
Yeah.
I mean, SmackDown is AJ Styles land. You know, make what you want about Dean Ambrose, The Miz and Ziggler. SmackDown is AJ Styles' territory. He has taken over that show. He's taken over that company.
He's the champ that runs the camp.
He is. And honestly, he's the champ that runs the company right now, too. I'd have to go with AJ Styles as my male wrestler of the year. I mean, you take a look at the other guys on this list. Seth Rollins was injured for most of this. Roman Reigns was booed for all of this. Kevin Owens has become the champion recently, really hasn't done too much with it. And Chris Jericho, while compelling, has lost a lot of matches.
Yeah, unfortunately for Kevin Owens, what had a chance to be the hottest angle in the summer turned into Chris Jericho stealing the show while still losing.
Yep.
And with Roman Reigns, like you said, he's been booed, and that's not a bad thing in the general scheme of things, but when you really look at it, when he's supposed to be a good guy getting booed, that's when it becomes a problem because his character isn't over the way it's supposed to be. AJ Styles is. People hate him. They love him because they know he's good, but at the same time, character-wise, they still boo him because that's what he's supposed to do. He's the heel.
Exactly.
So it makes sense. He's the best all-around guy. By far.
I mean, you mentioned a whole lot of things there with AJ Styles. You didn't even bring up the club.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, can you...
He made them good because we know WWE doesn't know how to book them.
Yep.
He made them. And there's rumors that he's actually going back to Monday Night Raw, so we'll see about that. Apparently, Vince really, really loves AJ Styles.
Which is fascinating, in my opinion.
It blows my... I love it, but it blows my mind at the same time.
Well, and then I think you can also make the argument that WWE refuses to make their own stars.
Yeah, that is true, because they certainly didn't make AJ Styles. They did make, on this list, the only... what I would call the only true WWE-made star is Chris Jericho. Seth Rollins, we knew him from Ring of Honor.
Yep.
We knew Kevin Owens from Ring of Honor.
Reigns, you could make the argument.
I guess
Reigns, but
he's not the star they want him to be right now. So I would say the only true star that WWE made on this list is Chris Jericho.
Yep. And really, Chris Jericho kind of made himself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it, he was in WCW. He was in ECW. He was fighting in Mexico, in Japan.
He's in New Japan, yeah.
He wrestled in Europe for a while.
I read his book.
I believe... you know, the countdown was 2000 when he finally came over. So you know,
I think it was officially like 1999, but yes, it was the two
Y2J. Yeah. So I mean, in reality, yes, Jericho cut his teeth elsewhere, but WWE made him what he is today. But yeah, I think it speaks to the lack of star power in WWE right now of their own created stars.
Absolutely. All right. So a unanimous one there, AJ Styles. The second unanimous award winner. Moving on to the best female wrestler of the year, and this has a lot more WWE-made stars. Drum roll, please. And the nominees are Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, and Bayley. Now, I think there's two that definitely stand out to me, and that would be Charlotte and Sasha Banks. And just solely on their wrestling, I would put them in the same tier wrestling-wise. I think they're both great. But character-wise, I just love Charlotte. I think her promos are great. She makes me hate her. What she did with Ric Flair recently has been great, so I put Charlotte as the best female wrestler. She hasn't lost on a pay-per-view in a singles match either.
That's what puts her over for me in my mind. I mean, Sasha's won the belt 3 times, and she's won it every time on Raw.
Yeah, which is good for Monday Night Raw.
Right.
But you need to win on a pay-per-view, too, to be a legitimate champion.
Charlotte, for me, is definitely the winner of this category. Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, and Bayley, while they are very good, they are on this list because they're promoted, I guess you could say. They've been prominent on the shows that they've been on. I mean, Nikki Bella came back and has done a feud with Carmella, so really she's not been relevant, but she's won. But I think that's a product of who she's engaged to / maybe married someday. Who knows? Are they married yet?
I don't think Cena wants to get married
again,
so
no. Either. But Becky Lynch has done well since coming up. I mean, she had a WrestleMania match with Sasha Banks and Charlotte. She was the SmackDown Women's Champion. Now it's Alexa Bliss.
Woot woot.
I think you can make the argument that Alexa Bliss could replace Bayley on this list. However, Bayley, in my mind, has done more in the time that she's been there, whereas Alexa's just getting started.
Well, I guess the unfortunate part about just our awards in general and just this year in general is because of NXT, they've done a great job there.
Yes.
A lot of the call-ups came in halfway through the year.
Yep, and we're going to get more of that in the years to come. But
yeah, but just for like this in particular, like Nikki Bella came in SummerSlam. She hadn't wrestled before then, and then Bayley came in late as well.
Yep.
So I mean, that's just the way that the WWE is working this year. Nothing they can do about it. So that is our third unanimous pick, and I think I'd be willing to bet. Last time I bet on this, I was wrong, but I would be willing to bet that Tag Team of the Year might be another unanimous one. Our nominees for Tag Team of the Year, The Club, Enzo and Cass, New Day, and Slater and Rhino. I mean,
just kind of said that with a warrant.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, yeah.
They're not really even a tag team anymore if you watch SmackDown this week.
Yeah, they're really not. It was cool when it first started because I think Heath Slater's gimmick was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, Rhino is like 50 years old. He has more important things to do. He probably should have won his Senate or government race. I don't know what he was running for. It's the New Day. They've held the belts for almost... They've almost broken the record. They're the best.
No, there's no doubt. It's got to be the New Day. They've overcome us saying maybe they should split them up. They've overcome, well, they've been around for a long time. And if they lose the belt at this point, if they don't break the record, shame on WWE. They absolutely should break the record. They're well deserving of it. They should break that record.
And those are three guys that are WWE-made stars.
Yes.
And they do have a future world champion on there, so I am excited for when they do eventually break up.
Let me just say this. I don't think WWE gets enough credit for this. One of the biggest knocks we have on WWE is their lack of African-American stars. These three have been given the reins to, you know, the tag team division and have done well with it.
Yeah.
I mean, and they all three of these gentlemen are African-American, and I think that there's something to be said about the WWE maybe turning a new leaf as far as at least these three guys. I mean, Kofi's been around for a long
time. Almost 10 years, yeah.
A long time. And Big E is a product of developmental. Xavier Woods had some, kind of dipped his toe in TNA, but he's really found his form as this kind of Xavier Woods in WWE. I mean, I got to give him credit. And in an area that I don't think they do a good job in otherwise, they have given three African-American guys the reins to the tag division and have said, do what you want. And they've done what they've wanted to, and it's worked, and they're the champions, and they've been the champions for a long time.
And Kofi Kingston at some point or another will eventually end up in the Hall of Fame.
I think so,
too. He's been in here for almost 10 years, multiple Intercontinental Championships, multiple United States Championships, Tag Team Championships. The only thing he hasn't done is the World Championship.
And a lot of people forget, and I think this is one of my favorite feuds of all time, the feud that he had with Randy Orton for the World Championship.
Yeah, he was close a couple times.
Was awesome. And I remember that he got Randy Orton got the car and he poured the paint on the card. And then he jumped from the balcony onto Randy Orton on one of the tables. I mean, I remember that feud like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And
what was that?
There's not many that I remember.
2010?
Yeah.
Around then? Yeah.
Somewhere around there. And I mean, he just does something. Kofi Kingston does something every time he steps in the ring. You want to be there to watch Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, I mean, just at the Royal Rumble itself. Yep. I remember in 2010 or 2009, he was in the Elimination Chamber match, mm-hmm. but then Edge knocked him out. I was so angry. I was so mad. All right, so New Day is unanimous. Next, so we've had three unanimous.
Four now, I believe.
Well, yeah, definitely four here. Most Improved Wrestler. The nominees are Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss, Baron Corbin, and the unanimous winner, The Miz.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. The Miz has really found his footing, and maybe you can't really argue. There's the next category that's coming, spoiler alert, is Comeback of the Year. He didn't necessarily come back, but he certainly came back from irrelevancy of, like, he was just doing Miz TVs. Now he's one of the faces of SmackDown.
Must-see TV.
Yeah, basically. And The Miz has always had a career full of adversity. Nobody liked him when he came into the locker room. He was shunned by many of the wrestlers, many of the veterans. And for him to rise to, you know, WrestleMania main event, and now, you know, he came back down to earth. But now he's come back up as found that true mid-card guy that The Miz is, that he excels at, that mid-card star. He's definitely my most improved of the year. Braun Strowman, I think you can make a small argument. I mean, he's being billed as dominant.
Next year, Braun Strowman has a better chance to win this award because he'll have a full year of just beating guys up. But for the most part, we've only seen him in singles matches and squashes.
Right. So I'd have to go with The Miz in this one. He's done the most with what he's been given.
And I'm just going to come out here and say this. The Miz is probably one of the best Intercontinental Champions we've seen in the past decade.
No doubt.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
He's like, he's already, I think, a 5 or 6 time winner. Yeah, of the IC title.
Yeah, because It was his at WrestleMania, wasn't it? Did he lose it at WrestleMania, or did Kevin Owens have it coming into WrestleMania?
I think it was Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens had it.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
And then Ziggler won it, and or no,
Zack Ryder won it,
and then he beat Zack Ryder.
The Miz won it the next day. Yeah. Yep. And then he lost to Ziggler and regained it. Okay. Yep. So four unanimous comeback of the year. We have Goldberg, Chris Jericho, Shane McMahon, and The Undertaker. Now, I know where I'm going with this one. Are you going to break the unanimous streak?
I'm going Shane O'Mac.
You are breaking the unanimous streak. All right.
Goldberg is a big one for me. Goldberg is somebody that I never thought I would see in a WWE ring ever again. However, when Shane McMahon's music hit, I thought I was going to fall out of my seat. Because Shane McMahon being back in the WWE was an unheard of thought. If you said his name in a WWE locker room, you were essentially shunned. Because he left the company, he left his daddy's business and went and did his own thing. He basically went to the enemy and bought some MMA stuff.
And he had success.
Yeah, and then he sold his company and has come back and done wonders for WWE. He has become one of the must-see, not, you know, talent, must-see figures, I guess I should say. And he's loved by the fans. He always, when he's in the ring, he does something that you think, oh my gosh, he's going to die. And then he comes back out the next night and walks it off, essentially. I mean, that jump off the cage onto the table was just ridiculous.
I had people who don't watch wrestling come up to me because they know I watch wrestling and asked me about that. It was insane.
So for me, it's got to be Shane McMahon as my comeback of the year. I kind of know how you're going with this because your boy's in this category, but it's got to be Shane McMahon for me.
I got to give him some love because there's no way with the year that he's had that he doesn't deserve an award. And Goldberg's great. Shane McMahon is great. The Undertaker is great. But my comeback of the year is Chris Jericho solely because for the last month, 2 month, maybe 3 months, if you stretch it long enough, he has been the best guy on Monday Night Raw. And we know Monday Night Raw is not the best, the better of the two booking-wise shows. It's kind of kicked us in the nuts a little bit from here and there. And it doesn't make sense that Chris Jericho is the top guy on Monday Night Raw when his best friend Kevin Owens, or former best friend, is Universal Champion. They should be pushing Kevin Owens to be the strongest, but Jericho is just that good, man. On the mic, in the ring, he doesn't even have to win to still look good. Some of the matches he's had with Seth Rollins just on a Monday Night Raw have been phenomenal. So Jericho is my comeback guy of the year. Just the year he's had is unbelievable. So he's it for me. And our final category, the match of the year. This one we will have a couple differing opinions here. So, all right, five matches. First one, Fatal 4-Way Extreme Rules for the Intercontinental Championship. The Miz versus Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus Cesaro. No Mercy, Intercontinental Championship again. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. AJ Styles versus John Cena at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose or Brock Lesnar at Fastlane. And then Team Raw versus Team SmackDown at Survivor Series. The basically hour-long match right there. So we were talking about this before we went on air. And we each had... These matches are all phenomenal. And we... I could go two different ways here. I know you had thrown in another one, so you could go probably two or three different ways. What did you settle on as match of the year?
For me, in terms of what it meant to two guys' careers, AJ Styles versus John Cena is a turning of the guard in a way, and I don't think you get too many of those matches. You don't really get too many of those anymore in WWE, that turning of the guard match. So that's one way I could go with it. But I ended up going with The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler, and here's why. That feud has been probably the best feud in WWE for the past 3, maybe 4 months recently. And I genuinely thought, and there was rumors coming out, that Ziggler was going to be done.
Yeah.
That Ziggler would no longer be in WWE, that he had some other, you know, things that he was trying to do. So I thought for sure that Ziggler was done. And Dolph had lost and lost and lost and lost continually throughout that time period. And then they throw in the wrinkle of the Spirit Squad. And the Spirit Squad's annoying, and I'm glad they haven't been on recently. But that was a great move by WWE to bring back a group that he is synonymous with, I guess would be the right word. And to show the progression of his career. I mean, they basically only left out Vicky Guerrero. That's really the only arc that they missed was Ziggler.
Not a bad thing. Not a great thing. Not a bad thing.
Right. So for me, for Miz, you got a guy that's won my most improved, and Ziggler, I think you could make the argument is day in day out probably the most consistent thing you're going to get in WWE as far as a talent. I mean, there's you can make an argument for some other guys there, but you know what you're getting with Dolph. You know what kind of match you're going to get with him, and the knock on Dolph has always been, what's his character? He's just Dolph Ziggler. And I think you finally saw that Dolph is, he's always been that scrappy guy, that guy with the heart, the guy that's always been the guy that loses matches. But for him to pull that one out in the dying embers of his career with what we thought would be, I have to go with that. It was a must-watch match. It was good from start to finish. They told a great story. You had the Spirit Squad involved. You had Maurice involved. It's got to be, for me, Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz.
See, it came down to two matches for me. Styles and Cena at SummerSlam and the Fatal 4-Way at Extreme Rules. Because coming to that Fatal 4-Way match, you had the big enemies, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, The Miz, who was kind of brand new to the Intercontinental run at that point in time, and then Cesaro, who had just returned from injury. So I saw it going all four ways. And when you start the match off and Sami Zayn just starts off with a Cholula kick to Kevin Owens, it was great.
Yes.
And that story is phenomenal. You had near falls, and I genuinely didn't know who would win. But at SummerSlam, AJ Styles and John Cena, I'm just going to be honest here. That's the two biggest names for the past decade.
Yep.
Going at it should have been the main event.
Yep.
The fact that Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton was the main event over this match was ridiculous. Like you said, it's a switching of the guard here, and AJ Styles, I mean, hindsight's 2020. AJ Styles has taken it and just run with it at this point. So I have to give it to this one. The match was phenomenal. I thought it should have been a 5-star match. The storyline, you had the good guy and the bad guy, the two biggest names in wrestling. It's a WrestleMania main event, and maybe we'll see it at WrestleMania 33 for Cena's 16th ever world championship. But then you had the TNA guy going over clean on John Cena. It just, everything just worked so well on a card that was not that good.
No.
The SummerSlam was like 18 hours long. It just didn't work. But that stood out. It made the show better for me. And it made that Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton debacle doable. So I go Styles and Cena as the best match of the year.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, like I said prior to my pick, it was a changing of the guard match, and there aren't too many of those left in WWE.
Yeah,
we won't see another one. Yeah,
we'll see another one for about 10 years.
Probably not. I mean, you had the way too late changing of the guard match between The Rock and Cena.
And they kind of, in my opinion, they did that wrong because Cena should have won the first one.
That's correct. But I see it as this AJ Styles is the guy now, and it's because of that match.
And I think John Cena saw that too. I think he saw something in AJ Styles when Styles first came over. I just remember when Styles first walked into the ring with John Cena. Oh, yep. Goosebumps, man. Goosebumps.
No doubt.
All right, so that is going to do it for season one of the DNA Wrestling Podcast. We'll be splitting off for Christmas break. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DNA Wrestling Pod. We'll have some content popping up every now and then because Santa Claus is getting me a microphone.
There you go.
So we can get some hot takes. You can follow Adam on Twitter at @real_AdamF. And you can follow myself on Twitter at @Denton_Day. We will be back and better than ever come January 20th. See you then.